You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Welcome to the Boss Hog of Liberty podcast on the We Are Libertarians Network. I am your host, Jeremiah Morrill, and as always, I'm joined by our co-host, Dakota Davis.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Looking dapper over there, Mr. Davis, in your brand new Boss Hog Liberty polo shirt.
Yes, embroidered and looking fly.
You'll have to look at the HD video to see the rest. Our show is about our lives in rural Indiana. It's a show about folks who are involved in politics. We promise that our episodes are going to be a fun and an easy listen. We interview people who are influencers, elected officials, political experts, and people that we just find interesting. So today we have a very special episode. We have two guests today. One is in the guest host chair, and then the other is our featured guest. In the guest host chair, we have like the OG super fan of the Boss Hog of Liberty, Mr. Chris Guffey. What's going on, Chris?
Nothing. Just sitting over here.
Just sitting over here.
Chilling.
Chilling in the bright lights, getting a suntan.
Yes. Yes. Hopefully. I'm quite pale.
Yeah. Well, once people look at the HD video, they'll know.
Yes.
They'll
exactly.
They'll have a real picture of it.
Unfortunately.
All right. On the other side of the room, we have the best-dressed guest we've ever had. We have Mark Rutherford. He is the Libertarian Party of Indiana's candidate for Secretary of State. The day job, you're an attorney in our capital land in Indianapolis.
Yes.
And the other thing I've billed is that you are the president or the chairman of the Indiana Public Defenders Commission.
Yes, chairman of the commission. Have been for quite a while.
Yep. You were just reappointed by the governor.
Reappointed by Holcomb, yes. And before people think that I'm a Republican, I want to make it straight. I was appointed because I'm not a Republican. I'm a libertarian.
You're in spite of being a libertarian,
yes,
I guess.
Yeah, I'm on there because he had to appoint either a Democrat or a libertarian, and Holcomb was happier with a libertarian.
There you go. And you've done a hell of a job now for the last, how long, I mean, for going on a decade now.
I'm on
this
my
point.
11th year, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So very
awesome.
Cool.
That is wonderful.
Yeah. So you recently announced, and we'll get into this a little bit later in the show, but you had a big announcement about a week ago?
Yeah, about a week ago.
Down at the club. It was Thursday. It was a Thursday.
It was
last
a Thursday
week, right?
At the Columbia Club in downtown Indianapolis.
Big swanky club in downtown.
It was, yeah. We had a great time, and I made my announcement about that I'm seeking the nomination for the Libertarian Party of Indiana's Secretary of State's race.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. So the way these shows typically work is there's just some general banter, and then we throw the tough gotcha questions, Chris, at the guest, all right? So have them ready.
Yes.
All right. So, Dakota, it's been a busy week for you and I.
Oh, my goodness. So busy.
We've booked a crazy amount of guests here lately.
Yeah. We've already got February all planned. We're still in the month of January, but...
No, it's February. Today we're recording this February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Did you forget to tear off the calendar this morning?
I told you while we were at dinner about the day that I have had.
I know.
I think that should be expected. Please forgive me. But yeah, we have this entire month planned.
Yep.
And then I believe that we have the 1st of March already planned as well.
We've got something penciled in. Our guests haven't agreed to it yet, but we've got them penciled in, so that's good enough for me.
Yes.
So
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this lineup. I think it's going to be a great time. We got some meetings to go to through the month of February, some different public meetings. I've met some resistance about going to the Newcastle City Council meeting, but we're still going to get there, and it's going to be a good time. The entire month of February is just going to be full of information.
So lots of content coming out of this channel. If you're listening just because of Mark, or if you're tuning in because of the audience he brings, we'd appreciate just a little subscription or a share or a like or all of those things because, you know, they're free for you and they help us out.
Absolutely.
But, we've had a great campaign this last couple of weeks with folks helping us out. We do have the new Mevo high-definition camera. You are in a beautiful new shirt that you got delivered in today.
I'm going to have to adjust the Mevo real quick so that everybody can see this wonderful embroidery that we have on my new golf polo. I am a golfer, in case anybody can't tell. But these polos are like the one of the biggest things for me, because I've wanted something that I can look professional at whenever I go to the meetings and I set up the live stream or the recording, and I am just stoked about it.
Now you're going to look like you're Dakota with Boss Hog Liberty. You called up the mayor's office today and you just introduced yourself as Dakota Davis.
I'm Dakota Davis, and I want to get some information about setting up and recording the February 5th meeting. And she said, "Are you Dakota Davis from the Boss Hog Liberty?"
You got the name ID, man.
We've hit the big time, Jeremiah.
The mayor's assistant knows where your volunteer job is.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's see. And then the other big thing is we had a very limited offering of swag for the Boss Hog of Liberty. We had with the T-Chip folks. We talked about this on the live broadcast Tuesday. We had T-shirts available. We had hats and we had mugs.
Yes.
And they were available for less than 24 hours because somehow you upset the internet gods and we got reported for trademark infringement or something.
I got an email on Tuesday morning from T-Chip. This is what I woke up to on Tuesday, was a cease and desist from T-Chip for the violation of intellectual property.
But there's no explanation as to what we violated.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was just intellectual property rights is what we violated. And there was no explanation as to what part of our logo was actually an infringement upon those intellectual property rights. So I still don't know. I've emailed so many different people, and each time I email a different customer service or seller service representative at T-Chip, I get another email back that says, "Well, this is not my department. You have to go to this department and email this email address."
It's like working with the government.
Yes. So I finally got to the copyright service department, and I sent them a lengthy email with my Adobe proofs, proving that I was the one that created the logo, and I have yet to hear anything back. So,
all right. So, if you were one of the folks that participated in that and donated and got your stuff, I know mine said it was shipping already. So, if you were able to get an order placed, I think you're actually going to get your stuff.
Yes.
And otherwise, once we make nice with whoever we've upset, we'll start round two.
I mean, I'm vested in this as well, because I also ordered one of our T-shirts and I was looking forward to it arriving. So if it doesn't show up for me, then we're really gonna have to get in, we're gonna have to have our guest for tonight, Mr. Mark Rutherford, give them a call.
We're going to have to reach out and see what we can do.
We
we have to apologize to for violating God only knows what laws. May have been federal, because I don't think they're based here. Yeah, it's an interstate crime you've gotten us wrapped up into now.
Yeah, I don't know. I apologize.
So Mr. Guffey.
Yes.
Your background, other than being our Category 5 super fan,
mm-hmm.
you are you're a veteran.
Correct.
And you go to the gym a lot. When you were on Facebook, you've taken some sort of a sabbatical or a cleanse from Facebook.
Yes.
But you would always check in down at the gym.
Yeah, yeah.
So are you still doing that? Still getting swole?
I'm on like a hiatus right now because I hurt my hamstring and just trying to get back into it.
Gotcha. What gym do you go to?
The Fit Factory on here, down here on Row 3.
Well, I go to Anytime Fitness, so I don't know if we're allowed to be friends anymore.
I'm sorry. I like to go where strong people go. So it's all right.
Do you guys have Columbia Club versus YMCA battles over what, you know, which is more superior in Indianapolis?
No,
like
we
this,
don't. And
this
with
Henry
Columbia
County
Club, you know, we're just happy to be, I mean, we tend to be older because, and we're just happy that we can do it.
Right. Yeah. You're just happy to be able to tie your shoes, right?
Tie your shoes. Yeah. And, yes.
Oh, there was on Bob and Tom, Josh Arnold made some joke about when he goes to the gym, he's just happy to, you know, happy when his goal is to be able to not be a tragedy when he can't tie his shoes. So
mm-hmm.
I understand. I understand. Chris, you and I met weirdly in a park
yes.
heading to the infamous Mosquito Hill, that the Doughboy that everybody's been talking about for the last two months in Henry County.
I'm so glad that this has been cleared up, because in our show planning, our show prep group chat, you said that he was a survivor of Mosquito Hill right after you said that he was a veteran.
Yes.
So
I
immediately was like,
what happened?
I was like, I think that this is a reference to the Doughboy statue. But I don't want to, like, put anything on the show notes that is, like, a joke, because, like, what if it was actually, like,
what if it was real? Yeah, yeah.
What if he's over in Iraq and there's something like a Mosquito Hill and he literally is a survivor?
No.
No, but you did serve. You were in Afghanistan.
I did.
Yeah.
I did 9 months in Kabul. So.
Well, we're glad you're here now.
Yeah.
And now you can volunteer your time at Saved Games for Travis Wyke.
Yes, yes. I'm there quite often.
So he said you got a nickname over there now. They call you Tink?
Yes. I was at a local establishment last night, and Travis and one of his friends came in, and they found out what I do for a living, which is tinker on electronics. And so now I am Tink.
Now you're Tink or Tinkerbell, he said.
Yes, yes. See, she wished to refer to me as Tinkerbell.
I thought it was a reference to Tinkerbell. Like you said, you went into a local, you were in a local establishment, and I thought it had, you had something to do with Tinkerbell and your day job, and I was...
Oh, no.
I didn't know what you did. I still technically know.
He is the guy that's fixing the farm equipment so that we can all eat, basically.
Yes.
He works for one of the leading ag electronics companies in the world.
Yes.
We'll say that.
Yeah, I'd say pretty accurate.
And you're like their number one repairman.
I am not the number one, but if it wasn't for you,
none of us would have corn or soybeans or sorghum.
I'll take that, though.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I appreciate that.
If the ag committee does the right thing in the Indiana State Senate, maybe you'll be fixing equipment for hemp harvesting in Indiana, too.
That's right.
We can hope.
Pass the House 90 to
nothing. But as a person who frequents Japanese restaurants and eats edamame, I really appreciate your contribution to the soybean industry.
Yeah, no problem. It's all right.
There we go. All right. Well, we're glad you're here. No pressure. Jump in whenever you want. You're like the token generic voter. So as you have a question that comes to mind for Mark, jump in. Let us know.
Just throw it at him.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's exactly what you're here for. That is your one role. So and we met. We were playing board games together, and for whatever reason, have quit going to Save Games, and you're on the staff down there now.
Pretty much.
So Travis did tell me that they were having a viewing party tonight. So they have you up on the screen,
and the crowd
is supposed to be watching. So there's probably a huge applause right now as we're giving them the time of their lives down there.
I said that we have hit the big time, and you just proved it.
That's it. We have an actual viewing party.
Yes,
in a public store for this program. All right, back to our featured guest.
Sure.
Yes. Did you suffer through that? Is it all right?
No, no suffering at all. Very interesting.
We haven't suffered you yet?
No, you haven't. Keep trying harder.
Oh, we'll keep working on it.
So by the time 90 minutes gets here.
Yeah. Nobody's left. We haven't lost a patient yet. No guest has run away, so it's all right. So what's this public defender thing? In your day job, is that one of your roles as an attorney, as a public defender, or is it?
No, I'm a business attorney, law attorney, do litigation, transactions. Today I spent all this time over this big transaction, which involves money and buying things and buying companies and who owns what, et cetera. Do a lot of litigation when people have disputes about that. The Indiana Public Defender Commission, though, is an appointed position by the governor. And I basically am the chairman, and I'm a chairman of a board that includes state legislators, judges, from the Indiana House, Indiana Senate, some civilians who are appointed by the governor. It's appointed by the governor. It's appointed by the Supreme Court. And it's appointed by the majority leaders of the House and the Senate of Indiana. And there's one by the Criminal Justice Agency that is appointed. So it's a diverse group. And what we do is we make decisions, and we're at the 35,000-foot level. And we're making decisions on what do we do with standards for the counties to receive money from the state for their public defenders.
So having a relationship with our county's public defender, and he's actually going to be our guest next week, Sean Rao.
Yes.
He has had concerns I would imagine they probably operate somehow similar to like a school does, where the number of cases that come through defines how they're funded or the way that things that the county levels are treated.
It is, but it's a volunteer program in Henry County. Unless something's changed just in the last couple of weeks, is technically in the program, but hasn't participated in years.
Gotcha.
Because you have to up your game. You have to provide better public defense. You have to have certain standards like comparable pay to the prosecutors, deputy prosecutors, etc. And the whole goal is the state wants to encourage the states to the counties to improve their public defense. And that's very libertarian because it's due process. Everybody deserves a defense. They deserve a good attorney.
You need first-class defense. The attorneys that you have may be limited in the amount of time that they're able to dedicate.
That's always a problem with public defenders. Some of them are the best litigators in the state because they do a lot of it. But still, the negative side of it is they do have pretty heavy caseloads. And counties that aren't in it, I don't know how Hendrick County is doing, but some counties that don't do it have been criticized by the 10th Amendment Center for how bad those counties are in Indiana.
And that's where we would point to a county council for not funding those offices. Or the
right.
Are they – this is the rabbit hole you probably didn't expect to go down. Well, I'll ask the question. You tell me it. If I don't know. Mm-hmm. Is it a judge's budget or a prosecutor's budget, or is the public defender their own budget for a county? How does that work?
If they are getting money from the state and from the commission, they have their own public defender board, their own. They run it themselves. The money goes to them directly. Of course, they're working with the county officials, the county treasurer, et cetera, like any agency would do
right.
on that. And judges have to do that too. But they're also disconnected from the judges. No, judges can be on the public defender board of the county if the county's big enough. Small counties, we have different rules because you can't have a board. They only need one or two.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we had Lane Siekman on, who's an attorney in Rising Sun, which is Ohio County.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Ohio County, Dakota?
Yes, Ohio County.
And, you know, they've got 6,000 people in the county.
Right.
So their rules are going to be different than Allen County would be.
Right. Allen County's rules are somewhat different. But the whole goal and part of what this state agency did, which is created by the General Assembly, we're a creature of the General Assembly, is that, and a lot of judges will tell you privately, that they appreciate it. They don't have to worry about it. They don't have to worry about conflicts. The appearance of impropriety of the judge paying the public defender is there. Now, you can talk around it.
Right.
And most of the judges, there's not a problem. But they hated that because they want the voters, they want everybody to see that they're trying to be fair.
Because in Indiana, we politically elect our judges.
That's correct.
They have to run for our circuit court and our Superior Court.
Mm-hmm. There's a few city judges left.
Yeah.
That's been gradually being done away with.
Yeah. Right. But like a Supreme Court, they're appointed by the governor, and then we have the choice to retain them.
Yeah, they're right.
It's a little bit different process. It's your county judge, the guy that you go to if you have a, you know, if you're going to face a state trial, that guy is politically appointed.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Or elected. Most of them.
It's elected.
Yeah. Marion County has just gone to appointed judges now. We'll see how that works out.
Yeah,
The beauty of what we do is that we do up the standards. More money comes in there. And for the people who are willing to do public defense, it makes it affordable. They can make a little profit so they can eat and send their kids to college, et cetera. And it does increase, I think, the quality of public defender work. But the 10th Amendment Center, which is based in Washington, D.C., came to Indiana, and they went and observed different counties, large, small, medium, and they concluded that we have real problems.
Okay.
And Indiana was one of the very first states in the Union to really recognize public defense work. This is like in the 1850s. So there's been a trend here to try to do it, but we're still not where we need to do, according to the 10th Amendment Center. I actually disagree with some of their findings, but I agree with them overall. And so the commission created a public defender task force. And retired Seventh Circuit Judge John Tinder is heading it up. We've got all types of people, legislators, people who have been in the system before from the standpoint of used to be public defenders, legislators. We have a Supreme Court justice on it. They're looking at what do we need, and we're hoping we're going to get from them a package that we can take to the General Assembly and say, we need to have good public defense because it's due process. You should have your right to attorney who's decent. And more importantly, it's the right thing to do. You should do that. If your culture does things like that and takes care of the people who – a lot of the people get convicted. There's no – let's face it. But if we treat those people well, then that's a good society.
Absolutely. And
that's a great society. We also do capital defense. And we actually were created first to help with the problems with getting quality attorneys for capital defense. And a lot of cases are being overturned by the federal courts because I got one when I was a young public defender. I'm out of law school 3 years. I get a capital case. I take it home one weekend, look at it, and I go to the judge the next day and say, I'm incompetent. I can't do that because of my life experience.
Sure. You've been an attorney for 1,000 days, and you're being
right.
expected to defend a man's life.
And I'm expected to do this. Now we've got a culture where they get enough money so they can get investigators if they need them, if they get a public defender, which most people accused of capital crime don't have a lot of resources. And so it's really increased the quality. Now, the number of cases is going down for capital cases, but I'm not so sure it's because we have better public defenders. I think that we're not getting overturned as much is what anecdotally I'm seeing, that the public defenders are doing a good quality job. But a lot of people are doubting if the expense is worth it.
Okay.
I mean, before you kill somebody, shouldn't you do it so that there's no as little doubt as possible?
And part of the National Libertarian Platform actually speaks out against capital punishment. So
right.
I think that that is, you were talking earlier about how a lot of these different issues that you deal with on the Public Defender Commission were actually very libertarian issues, and mm-hmm. that was actually the first bullet point that I saw whenever I looked up the Public Defender Commission. Was that you were recommendations about the defense against those people whom the state is actually pursuing right. the death penalty.
And I know my commission that there are pro-death penalty people on it, and there's people who are not for the death penalty. So the good news is that because of the extra money going to these attorneys and investigators and to the counties, so the counties, if they choose to do it, actually can afford it in a bizarre way. We actually make it easier in some cases.
And we had a question mm-hmm. come in that sure. was about the CHINS program, the Child in Need of Services.
For, right.
I guess that has you have some influence over that as well?
Yes, we do, because parents can go be put in jail for those proceedings.
Okay.
We convinced the legislature for more money to help I hate the word subsidize, but that's what it is. The attorneys
to help absorb those costs because they're getting costs. A higher number than they were yeah. budgeted for.
So that's why the budget is expanding the Public Defender Commission, because the legislature keeps adding more things. And you looked at the CHINS cases, and they've really started going after a lot more people under the CHINS statute, the Children in Need of Services.
Right.
Our budget drives upward because we need more attorneys now, because people can go to jail.
Right.
And most parents in a bad situation, I mean, I'm used to attorneys, so I know how to deal with them. But I would say that most normal, rational people don't, because they don't have to use attorneys. Yet you're thrown in and they're going to take your child away, and you may not be very well educated. It's really great to have at least an attorney there who knows what's going on and tell you what's going on. You have a good case, you have a bad case, here's why, for both reasons, and I'll fight for you.
Well, very good. Well, thanks for sharing mm-hmm. that. I know that yes. wasn't necessarily what you wanted to get into today.
Oh, that's fine.
I think mm-hmm. it does help to show your background and, you know,
right.
working at those levels for the job that you're applying for now.
And I was about to say that. I mean, the important thing about that, why I'm running for Secretary of State and why I think I'm a very good candidate for the Libertarians, is that I'm in the middle of government, and I know that government is a hard thing some people say it's like the Titanic. No, it's not sinking. It's going straight ahead, and it takes forever to get it to change course. You got to keep fighting. You got to do things. But it is a bunch of different people with different interests and different views, and you've got rules that you try to get government to change things around. And so I'm used to doing that. Oh, sure, there are people who disagree with me, but look at what I've got. I've got a board, a commission, and its board is roughly half Democrats, half Republicans. And they elected me and continue electing me since 2007 as the chairman. I think part of it is because, not being from either party, I can help maneuver that and maneuver change. But I'm also smart enough to know that I can't make it a libertarian agency. That's impossible, because I'll lose half the people or more, probably all of them. But I can make little changes and advocate for it during the meetings, and we do that. I would say that we're way more libertarian as a commission than we were when I started.
Absolutely.
And a lot of it, I think, has to do with where I'm at. And the other thing, which is very important for candidates to know, why it's important to get offices as a libertarian or to be whether appointed or elected, is I'm a big believer in that I'm at the 40,000 feet level. I let the staff do their job. If they're doing a good job, they don't hear from me. If they aren't doing a good job, they do hear from me. And they figure that
That's
out.
That's a good boss.
It's a good boss. But I make decisions occasionally that my libertarian background influences my decision. How would it not?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Would you rather have a Democrat doing that, a Republican or a Libertarian? I'd rather have me there, because I change things a little bit.
So the one of the other points on your resume, building towards the Secretary of State race that you're running in right now, is the Libertarian National Campaign Committee chairman.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about what that is.
Yeah, the Libertarian National Campaign Committee is the second of the two national committees. And its purpose and its creation was more for providing support, looking for support for candidates. We had an executive director. We worked really hard on it. I'm going to tell you as it is. What we learned was that the Libertarian Party has a branding problem, and we didn't have the resources to deal with it. So we're kind of holding it back to see where we go. I see some really good things happening in the Libertarian Party world, so that something like the Libertarian National Campaign Committee might be able to get back into it. And here's what I call it. It's the mother's milk of politics. It's money. And people say that if your branding's bad and your organization needs work, we're not going to give you money.
Yep.
And well, that's what we're kind of dealing with that. So I'm not critical on everybody because, Jeremiah, you know, this is hard. We're putting it together.
It absolutely is. And I was going to compliment you. We have the biggest audience we've ever had for a Boss Hog Liberty podcast.
Good. Mm-hmm.
You have a staff of three people wearing button-down shirts.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To a show that we normally wear flannel.
Yes.
Dakota wears polo shirt, and I wore my button-down. Mm-hmm. And Chris has even got a plaid. We'll call it plaid today.
Yeah, yeah.
A clad button-down.
I thought that's what we were going with.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But with the chairmanship of this committee, we're kind of in the background. We're waiting to get back into there when we think things are going better. There's some things with the one thing that was very difficult. We were confused with the Libertarian Party or the Libertarian National Committee. We're not. We're different.
Right. Yeah. I didn't know the difference, and I'm a county chairman.
Yeah. So there's a lot of work we needed to do, and we didn't think we could get the funding to do it well. And the Libertarian Party, it's moving forward. I'm seeing
Absolutely.
It all over the place.
Yeah, tremendous amount of wins this last year.
Yes.
What's the current year, Chris? 2018. So we'll back up on 2017. Yeah. Tremendous amount of wins.
But it's important. The Republicans and Democrats are also authorized with three committees, and it's important that we start going that way. So it's there. We've done some good. We've helped get people elected in different states, and we've supported people financially. But we decided this year we're kind of holding off and dealing with some of these branding problems.
So let's talk about your race a little bit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To the average person, they may not know what the Secretary of State does.
Mm-hmm.
I know. You know, we have a clerk in our county.
Yes.
So each county has a clerk. And this is almost like the county clerk for the state, right? It's like the state's clerk is a close representation.
No,
or an auditor.
Not arguing. It's not that. It's more a record-keeping administration and enforcement arm for business.
Okay.
So, for example, the Federal Securities Exchange Commission does some big stuff. But Indiana has something comparable that's run by the Secretary of State that does that. Enforcement. Works with the Attorney General to weed out bad people, has investigators, sets rules, etc. So that's one big chunk that a lot of people don't know about the Indiana Secretary of State. It also is in charge of administration of businesses and corporations. That's where you file your paperwork. That's where you file your annual minutes. Not annual minutes, but your annual biennial. Every 2 years you have to file a report that you still are doing stuff.
When I was a notary public, I believe the Secretary of State's office handled that,
they do that
as well.
They do that. Excuse me. They do car dealerships. That's where you license car dealerships and car franchises, et cetera.
So you'll be responsible for business licensing?
Yeah, and a lot of stuff like that.
Will you be able to lose the paperwork on licensing barbers in the state, or do you need some legislative help for that?
That's not us. It's not the Secretary of State. That's a different division. Yes.
Who's in charge of barber licensing?
Oh, my gosh. I can't think of what it is, but there's a whole division that does barber licenses.
Oh,
they also do doctor's licenses for some reason, but not attorneys. I mean, it's whatever.
I think the politics. That might go back to the time where your barber was also your pharmacist at one point in time.
It may have.
I wonder if Jim Lucas gets his way, if the Secretary of State's office will be the ones licensing media.
I don't know. I didn't read the bill because I didn't think I had a chance to pass it.
Lucas is
an interesting character.
Right,
I'm not an FCC regulated show because I can drink on the air.
Mm-hmm.
We are heard on Indiana Talks though, on the number one progressive radio station in the state of Indiana.
Hey.
But I don't think we'll be on the media hit list if Representative Lucas gets his way.
Right.
So I'll be off your radar when you're
We have to get a Representative Lucas on the show so that we can guarantee that we're not going to be on that hit list whenever the time comes.
We're going to ask for our carve-out.
Yes, exactly.
But that's a general idea of what the Secretary of State is about. And as an attorney and a business law attorney, I deal with them all the time. So I'm very familiar with most of what they do. And there's just a couple of weird areas. But here's the most important thing they do, in my opinion. And that is they administer the campaign finance law on elections and election law. And when it comes to statewide issues on campaign finance law, the Secretary of State is the chair, and the two major parties of the state are the other representatives in the election board. Okay. And they meet and fine people. Sometimes they don't fine people, depending on who's there. Depends on how tolerant they are of violations of Indiana campaign finance law. They get very, very, very involved. And one of the things that I think is very important is if you elect a Libertarian Secretary of State, I'm the chair. There's a Democrat, unless I get to be number one or number two winning, I would hope that would happen. But at the worst, let's say I come in third after the Republican and Democrat. Mm-hmm. But if I win, the Republican and Democrat I know will be on there. I'm sorry. And I can break ties.
It'll be 1-1-1.
And it's going to be 1-1-1. And just like the Indiana Public Defender Commission, what better person to have as the chair dealing with the other two parties?
Absolutely.
I'm not going to change a lot, but I'm going to have influence. And I think make things better for election law and the interpretation of it.
And then for all of the parties, this is their ballot access race.
Yes.
So if the Republicans or the Democrats don't field a candidate that's worth anything and the voters reject them, they may not make the ballot the next time themselves.
Well,
They have to have at least 2%.
They do. They have to have at least 2%.
I think as do the Libertarians.
Yeah, we do. I think the Republicans and Democrats will get it. We'll get it. If I get 10%, there's primaries. And I'm not afraid of the primaries. The Libertarian Party of Michigan now has to have primaries. I've talked with people there and their state chair, and a lot of them think it's the best thing that ever happened. We've got to be real more serious and take it seriously. We're stronger now because we have to be. Because in a primary, you have less control over who runs. Anybody can run in that primary as a Libertarian, even if they aren't.
Just like right now, if I wanted to run as a Republican, or if Chris wanted to run as a Republican, you go down to the Henry County Voter Election Office when they're open during business hours from 7 to 4, Tuesday to Friday. That's why county government works around here. We don't work Mondays because we save money.
Okay.
But they don't get to take lunch.
Uh-huh.
So if you go not on a Monday because they're closed, that's the Darren Jacobs holiday he gets every week. You could go down and say, hey, I want to run for sheriff and sign your name up as a Democrat. And as long as the Democrat Party doesn't throw you off the ballot for not voting in the Democrat primary the last time, you're on the ballot. Whether you're qualified or not?
No.
Yeah, okay. We can make some moves right now.
Uh-huh. That would not happen.
But that's legitimately the way it works, where the parties don't have that much control. If you've been a good soldier and you've been in that party's primary, they really can't stop you.
Right, but that may not be a bad thing, in my opinion, because it forces everybody to work hard. If somebody tries to take a position and you don't think that they have the platform beliefs or the beliefs, there's an easy solution. Recruit a candidate who will beat them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And actually, it's a lot easier than you think. It just takes time and hard work. It's kind of that old thing about, you know, doing better, that work is how you get better. But it's hard because you have to get sweaty and do things, et cetera. But it works.
So you also have the bully pulpit of being a statewide office holder when you host that job. I know that when now Congressman Rakita, then Secretary of State Rakita, the last time redistrict came around, he kind of jumped out in front of that and had a plan. Is that something you think you would have influence over, drawing the political boundaries?
Yeah, you do. And the Secretary of State's office is a great bully pulpit for gerrymandering, preventing gerrymandering. Rakita did that quite well when using the office for that. He's actually, in my opinion, laid a lot of groundwork. I'm not endorsing him for Republican Senate or not endorsing him. But that was something I thought he did well as Secretary of State. The other thing about Secretary of State is it is business-oriented, and it's the bully pulpit, and it's where I can advocate for small business because I know how the website currently works under the current administration. It's not as good as the previous version. They're trying to do too much. Is it a pretty good website compared to other states? Yes, but that's a bad comparison. it needs to be different and easier, and
you need to make sure that you do something that it's easy for small business to be able to register their corporations, limited liability corporations, anything that you need to do along those lines. Now, the Secretary of State's website has things that are well, but you go to it and even attorneys get confused about why do I need to go to the Department of Workforce Development? If an attorney's a little bit confused, then other people are. Now, I know you need to if you have employees, but it should have a big thing saying, if you have employees, click here, but it doesn't. Well, it does, but you have to be really kind of used to bizarre web pages. I mean, so
to bizarre web pages.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to find. It should be easy. It should be so easy. And part of the problem, and this is one thing I'm going to go to Trump just for this reason, why what he is focusing on is getting rid of regulation. Why do you think businesses like him? If you're a small business, I call it the death by a thousand cuts. All the things required by government are not that hard to do, other than sometimes you've got to get slow bureaucrats to act, and that can delay you and cost you money. But most of it's pretty easy to do. It's just that you're already trying to create your business or manage your business, mm-hmm. and you don't have the 3 or 4 hours to do it. I say the bureaucracy has created Walmarts, Costcos, not because they're bad businesses, but because you have to get that size so that you're big enough so you can hire one person to deal with the government regulations.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
When you grow larger, you can do it. But a mom and pop, that's why a lot of them die. They just don't want to mess with it.
You almost skate by until the government gets involved, and then it comes crashing down. If you're off the radar, you can survive.
Right.
But then it's the first time they get their hooks in you. You can't get away.
So as the Secretary of State with his administrative functions, you've got to make it as easy and simple for business. So that's the way a libertarian looks at it. It's not like, well, the General Assembly says I have to do it, fine. Now, the next question is, how do I make this easy, make sense, and do it quickly so that people can do it quickly? For example, organizing the ride from Indianapolis to here, I made a suggestion. And one of my friends who's here right now suggested something else that was much better because it made it simpler.
Do you want to take 40?
Do I want to take 40? Yeah, I want to take 40. 40 is pretty cool.
It's still a national road. It's not very cool in the dark.
But my point, it's not great. It probably isn't.
The yard sales aren't going on right now.
No, there's no yard signs. That's too bad. But you need to make government simple. And also it needs to be quick. There shouldn't be a long waiting period for anything.
Yeah, that's that right there. You hit the nail on the head with the government needs to be simple mm-hmm. and it needs to be quick because it's neither of those things right now. And those are the two huge issues mm-hmm. that I think that especially the Secretary of State race with all the things that you would have your hand in could really definitely make a huge improvement in.
So what do you need help from the General Assembly? If you're elected, what are the things that you would use a bullet pulpit for to ask for them to change?
What I would change, there's a lot of things I think are archaic on the licensing issues that need to be done away with. To the General Assembly's credit, they streamlined a lot of the business organization law last session, but there's still more that you need to do. The gerrymandering, I think, is very, very important. Election law, our campaign finance law, and our election law is incomplete, archaic, and based on a system that didn't work well in 1880. I'm just going to be very blunt about it. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done. There's a lot of candidates, PACs, committees, central committees. There's always talking about, I don't know, it's gray. Legislature has nothing to guide on what they want. We can guess that they're trying to regulate it, but then we have this conundrum of do we do this and take the chance we get sanctioned or do we not?
So Michael Bell is watching from California, and I don't know if he'll make it through the entire show. So he wants to know how he can donate to the campaign or how he can get out in touch with you guys.
Oh, that's an excellent thing. There are donate buttons on my Facebook page at Rutherford Rising.
All right.
That's Rutherford. Sorry, I left out the S. We have the S between Rising 2018. There's a donation site on the website. That's www. I'm old school, so I like to say that. www.rutherfords, that's with an S, rising.com. Right there is the donate thing that you can go to. I don't know if we have it all connected to our Twitter or not, but I'll tell it anyway because we have a Twitter account. And that's Twitter at Rutherford IN, Indiana, of course, 18.
And then we also have Instagram.
Oh, is that where we get your beach vacation pictures?
You get the beach vacation pictures. So,
hopefully.
And that's for you, and for Michael's sake, you know, you may want to go to these things to give you even more reason to donate.
Because I tell you what, Michael is on Instagram all the time with his beach stuff, but he lives in San Diego, so he's got better options.
We've got Indiana Beach.
We've got Indiana Beach.
There's more than corn in Indiana.
Summit Lake. That little beach.
We do have a lake at Summit Lake.
Yeah.
Or a beach at Summit.
Yeah.
There's so many options. Yeah. We can get so many beach pictures
in Indiana Dunes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that would be good for the campaign.
Hey.
Is this here. Is this county number one, by the way, on your grand tour? First of 92?
Well, Marion County is easy in Hamilton County because, you know,
well,
for obvious reasons.
That's where the fundraising is.
Live and there and work there, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, this is actually the first major event we've had since the announcement.
Hey. Major event.
You did that.
High five.
You did that. You got ahead of the game. The next one is Saturday where the 9th District Libertarians, 9th Congressional District Libertarians are having their big confab in Nashville. So
there we go.
We'll be down there for that.
Very
exciting. I expect Travis to be writing a full-fledged report on this in the Courier-Times, and it should be published this week.
We've got a candidate for a statewide office making a visit at, you know, at the Balls Hog Studios.
Yeah, north of Q Avenue.
North of Q. We don't give away. We're kind of, this is going to be like Motown, you know, where you the Motown building, the original studios of Balls Hog of Liberty, and we don't tell anybody where it actually is because we don't want throngs of people showing up at the door. So we just tell people it's north of Q. We don't.
I'm a married man now, so the people who would be interested, I would have to turn away.
It's true.
So, but I do want to get Instagram out here.
Yes.
Because I think it's pretty cool. An Instagram for a guy 58 years old, which is good for experience for being a Secretary of State. And I do know Instagram. So it's Rutherford's. It's Rutherford's _ rising.
All right.
And to let everybody know, Rutherford is Rutherford. It's Rutherford. There's other spellings.
It's spelled,
but that's the one.
Just the way it sounds.
Yeah. It's like the Indy 500 winner.
It is the Indy 500 winner.
Just like them.
Yeah. We share the same, like, great-great-great-grandparents.
Do you really?
Yeah.
There you go.
You going to get an endorsement? You going to go out there in May and see Johnny and ask her some help?
No.
This for you, Dakota. Johnny Rutherford won the Indy 500 three times.
Yes, he did.
Oh, interesting.
Yes,
1973, 76, and I'm going to say 80.
Well, how do you know that? You weren't even born yet.
Ray Haroon won in 1911. We have time, right? We have time to go through all 100 races.
Yes, look, it's the 500. Of course we have to. Yes.
Of course, yeah.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
So, again, to donate, there's Facebook, there's a website, RutherfordsRising.com, Rutherford's Rising 2018. That's the Facebook at Rutherford's Rising 2018. And we do need that support because to change things, you have to have money. It costs gas to get here. And I'm not being simple or silly. It adds up quickly
to
get the word out.
We ran Rex's campaign. I finally closed it out. We got rid of the last of the money, and we did that campaign as it was about $25,000 as a libertarian. That's a lot of money to raise and a lot of money to keep track
of.
Yep.
A statewide campaign is no joke.
Right.
And doing it at the level you are and being a serious candidate.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have the contributions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I've got Jeff Maurer here, who is my chief of staff. I've got Chris Price, who's social media. Kurt Miller is a law student who's volunteered to do a lot of the driving over the next few months. So we've got people like that. You need to have that, and it's important. Chris Price, I love his Facebook stuff. His company is overproducer.com, overproducer.com. I got that correct, didn't I, Chris? But he's volunteering for me because he's excited about this, what we're doing and what we're trying to change. And that is to change the culture of state government. You can start doing it as Secretary of State. When you're Secretary of State, people in the House and Senate, the General Assembly, will start listening to you.
They're going to start living right, too.
They're going to start living right.
If there's a libertarian in one of those first floor offices, they better eat healthy.
They better. But the important thing is, and why I will have credibility as opposed to some people who might not as a libertarian candidate, is I know legislators because I've worked with them for 10, 11 years on the Public Defender Commission. And we worked and figured things out to make that better and make things better for people.
Well, and you're coming from, you know, you play in that circle, right?
I mean, you play in the circle.
You are in the downtown Indianapolis.
Yes.
That's your livelihood.
Yes, it is my livelihood, and I play in the circle.
And those folks come in from all over the state, and this time of the year, they're in the same place as you are, and you have those relationships.
Right. I'm running across them and having lunch with them. I'm not sometimes not lobbying them. Some are friends.
Right. Really?
Yes. Yeah, they are.
Oh, man.
There's some pretty good people among there.
That's true.
Yeah.
So far we've had two sitting legislators.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 148 to go.
Mm-hmm.
But,
okay, good.
Yeah, we're
mm-hmm.
working our way through it. And we've got one future Secretary of State, so mm-hmm. we're working our way through.
Yeah.
Not a bad one of them mm-hmm. yet.
Some of them
won't let me have cold beer, but we're working on it.
Hey, I heard the greatest suggestion. Let's just make the grocery store 38 degrees all over.
That's what I said. Make all of the make all of the cashiers just bundle up.
It's like stimulating the economy for the air conditioning folks and the people that make the igloo. The insulation.
Those would be some very high electric bills, though.
Well, that's good for the electric companies.
It's
good for the guys that make the overcoats. It's not good for the geese that they have to kill to stuff them in the coats. Cause, you got to make some sacrifices.
Yeah,
that's true.
So. But it's going to be a fun year. But here's the thing, and if people know me, I know that it's going to be difficult to beat the Republican, who's the incumbent. But we go for the gusto, and we will be ready for any opportunities that come along. And so that's why libertarians need to support me for the position and then support me in just more than being a delegate at the convention and voting for me. Need your money, need your time. And as you can see, you developed a good statewide team.
Absolutely.
But you know how often or how rarely that has happened, because it's tough to do. And the libertarians have to cover local races and stuff. We're small, but we try harder. And I'm developing a team that's going to be able to do a lot more and have the backgrounds to do that. And it's just going to be a very exciting time.
Well, very cool. So at this point, we're going to pivot a little bit.
Sure.
And we're going to get into some of the news of the news of the week and things that have happened, and then we'll come back to Mark. And Mark will still be a part of the conversation, and so will Chris as we get into this stuff.
As I just sit over here,
You're twiddling. You're looking at the camera, gazing.
Yes. Gazing at
there are times where I still just sit over here.
So this week we had the State of the Union, Dakota, and.
That's right.
You remember that? That's in the show. We're going to cover that. We're going to get into it a little bit.
Was that the State of the State by the Holcomb?
No. State of the Union.
Oh, that's not what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. So they brought all the congressmen together.
Yes.
On Tuesday night.
I now know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, good.
The State of the Union address that was given by President Donald Trump. It was his first real one since he's been in office.
We have a quick question. One more quick question. Michael Bell says the website is letting him donate monthly, but he's technologically challenged. I'm going to blame Michael already for this. But he's saying he can make a monthly donation, but he can't figure out how to make a one-time donation. Is that a different place on the website?
No, it isn't. I don't know why that is. We'll look into that, because we've had people give monthly and we've had people just give a bulk sum from the website.
Well, yeah. I think they're trying to tell Michael Bell that he just needs to give monthly.
Let's go, man.
Yeah, monthly would be great, Michael. But he should then go to the Facebook and see if there's still a problem. If there's a problem, then we've got a software glitch with our server.
We'll dig into it.
Yeah.
But for now, just go ahead and sign up for that monthly donation, and I'm sure they'll promise to cancel it, Michael. I promise. All right. Clearly, Jeremiah hasn't donated. No, not yet. I've been busy. Michael, you have no idea. I was I'm running on Tuesday night. We watched State of the Union. I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, drove to Lexington, spent the full day in Lexington and seminar, and drove back home, and then went to work again today. I'm on fumes. You're getting punched drunk, Jeremiah, as a host today.
Well, you're doing quite well. So
fake it till you make it.
Yeah,
that's right.
All right, Dakota.
It's the baffling that we're talking about. But yes, the State of the Union address, the one which every president gives, and the one which Moses is always looking over top of them whenever they give it.
That was Mike Pence from behind.
Oh,
looking down. He's just got the white hair now.
I'm sorry. I apologize, Mr. Mike Pence, but I was I fully thought that was Moses. Anyway,
and Michael Bell now apologizes. He has figured it out.
Ah.
He says he's donated the legal maximum of $5,000. So you're
no, no. In Indiana, there's no limit.
Oh, there's no limit. You can go back and do it again, Michael. Yeah,
yeah. As an individual, now if his business is a corporation, it's $5,000, which that's nice too.
Yeah, we'll take
that. We'll take that. Yes,
he can personally match it. Of course.
Yes.
All right. Well,
I do know Michael. So if people are listening to this, wonder why I'm handling like this, I know Michael.
Michael has been a candidate for the Libertarian Party.
Yes, he has.
He's run for. I think his dad was going. Rex was going through the attic this last week, and he kept pulling out all of Michael's. Oh. But this is the way libertarians are. We keep clippings of all the races we lost. So Michael ran for treasurer of Hamilton County at one point. Yes. And he ran for state representative out here in District 54 or 56.
I think that and your billboard, Rex Bell also saved your billboard.
He saved my billboard, and he uses it to cover lumber now on job sites. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
At least I didn't get banished to the attic like Michael did. I'm still a part of the daily life around there.
Yeah, all you right. posted, man. Rex Bell posted that one picture of your face covering up that lumber.
It's like,
and it was one of the funniest things.
That picture of me is probably 8 feet tall. I mean, it is unbelievable how much they blew it up.
It is huge.
It's crazy. That's what happens. If you run for office, you get billboards.
Oh, sweet.
That's what happens to, in life. You've got there's a
you're
there's,
selling me here.
Hey, if you want to run for sheriff, we'll talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you pick the office.
Yeah.
Need a state representative candidate. We need a township advisory board member. We got all kinds of opportunities for you.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to Moses.
You got it.
Or Mike Pence. Okay. So anyway, Donald Trump actually gave his first State of the Union address, and it was his first actual State of the Union address while he was in office, where he could talk about like all of the legislation that he had imposed, all of the actions that he had taken. So let's get into this, Jeremiah.
All right.
And I want to say one thing. Yeah, we've criticized Donald Trump a lot on this show. We've praised him where he deserved to be praised. And I will say right now that he was surprisingly presidential. I was expecting, you know, full-on Donald Trump with the hand motions, the invisible
fingers?
Accordion, going fake news. I was expecting all of the theatrics.
Hammer and Nigel released a Donald Trump bingo card with all of the phrases.
Yes.
And
yes.
I sent it to some folks, and one guy actually legitimately tried to play it, and he said he was one phrase away. He didn't use enough phrase, and it looked like it was everything he, you know, it's all the Trump speak. Yes. I thought for sure the card would be like a coverall, and you'd get them all.
I thought it would be cool within like this first little clip that we're going to play.
He couldn't even get a diagonal out of it. So he was well behaved. All right, so this is going to be President Trump on immigration. It's about 30 seconds.
The House and Senate will be voting on an immigration reform package. In recent months, my administration has met extensively with both Democrats and Republicans to craft a bipartisan approach to immigration reform. Based on these discussions, we presented Congress with a detailed proposal that should be supported by both parties as a fair compromise.
All right, so you heard it there. He said it was going to be a fair compromise. To those of you who haven't been keeping up with the Dreamers, the things that we've been talking about on this show, and as President Trump and deals with all this, and Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell, the government shutdown, you know, it's all revolving around this one thing. And for those of you who don't know, who haven't been following the news, basically, Donald Trump said that he was unveiling his big compromise, the deal, you know, the art of the deal, and he wants to expand DACA by 1 million more people. So right now, currently, what Obama put on the table and was passed the first time was 800,000 DACA recipients the first time. Trump is going to expand that to 1.8 million, and there's going to be 1 million added recipients on there. Trump also wants to create a path to citizenship, which wasn't able to be done the first time, which is why they had to vote on it again to expand the spending in the budget, which is what led to the government shutdown. And Trump wants to expand this just like kind of like how Rand Paul had said. If you guys had watched Rand Paul's whole proposal on this, he basically said, you know, why don't we do something here to where we can allow a path of citizenship? You know, the government allows 1 million immigrants in every year, and over the course of say 5 years, we'll just add this many people to the immigrant list. We're not expanding immigration; we're keeping the DACA recipients on. The left and the right should be fine. So that's kind of what Donald Trump was doing. So he said, obviously, it couldn't be done in 5 years because he was expanding it by 1 million people. So it would be within 10 to 12 years. So in 10 to 12 years, every single DACA recipient would actually become a citizen of the United States of America. Not just in this quasi-zone like they are right now, to where they can work and they pay taxes and stuff, and they have like this pseudo-green card, but actual full-on citizens of the United States. In return, what he wanted from Democrats was to end chain migration. So chain migration is to where you get a voucher. If you are an immigrant in the United States, then you would actually get a voucher that you could bring, I think it's up to 8 people in with you, but they have to be immediate relatives. So there is actually a limit. That's kind of one of the pushes that Republicans keep saying, you know, oh, there's no limit. They can just keep bringing like their second and third cousins in with them. There is a limit, but Donald Trump wants to end that and just put it to the nuclear family.
So you've got now for us Representative Joe Kennedy, who gave the Democrats the rebuttal, which was the scene for this, Mark, was unreal. We were talking about this before a little bit. He gave it like it was a rally. Like he normally, like we had the Marco Rubio speech a couple of years ago. And it was, you know, looks like him with a lamp and he had his water bottle and a podium and it was very awkward.
Right.
It's kind of like if we recorded the State of the Union response in this room.
Yeah. Not a bad place.
But this was on a dais with a crowd on three sides, awkwardly some sort of a Ford behind him.
Yes.
I didn't really enjoy Mr. Kennedy's speech. But I will say that it actually his setting was so much better. He actually, you know, got up in front of a lot of people. It wasn't so like awkward, like really uncomfortable, like it had been in the past, you know, with other rebuttals, like to where it's just it seems really strange. But this he actually did a pretty good job.
All right, so this is Representative Joe Kennedy, who would have been President Kennedy's grandson, like or nephew, right?
Yeah,
his
Joe
nephew
Kennedy
or his great nephew.
Great nephew, I think.
We are all worthy of protection. For them, dignity isn't something you're born with, but something you measure by your net worth, your celebrity, your headlines, your crowd size. Not to mention the gender of your spouse.
So, okay, let's get into this for a minute. That was Joe Kennedy, multimillionaire and celebrity, person who is elected into Congress because he has the last name of Kennedy, who is scalding the Republicans for measuring things based on their celebrity status and their net worth. He was also one of the first people to give his speech to a crowd and just happened to mention crowd size. So the whole Joe Kennedy speech, like he might have been well on delivering it, but pretty much everything that I heard in there was it was more polarizing than what it was, you know, unifying America. Because if I'm thinking about this, okay, the president's job, of course, the president has a lot of different jobs, but I think one of his most important jobs is to become the face of America. The president is supposed to be this rock star in American politics, and he's supposed to unify people behind a set of characteristics. The president brings people together. He is the common face that the world sees, that the world equates America with. And I heard some of that in what Donald Trump was saying in his speech. And it's actually really weird that I didn't hear anything like that in what Mr. Joseph Kennedy had to say. Which, I mean, going into this, I would have thought 100% it's going to be the exact opposite. That's not what we were going to see. And he went on to say a couple of different things, but it was basically just every single standard progressive talking point that you are constantly hearing. He said he mentioned the DACA recipients and said, you know, we're not going to turn our back on you, and we will not forget you. While he's also condemning the president's immigration bill, which would allow 1 million more people to come in. So, if you're going to say that you're not going to turn your back on people, then why would you not allow a bill to pass that would allow 1 million more?
So the last clip we have from the State of the Union is Libertarian National Chairman Nick Sarwark, who deals also with this with the immigration issue, and he kind of gives us the libertarian view. His video is about 6.5 minutes long. We're just going to play a 30-second clip here just dealing with the DACA issue.
Millions of Americans right now. Millions of people in this country who've grown up here, who were brought here by their parents. Not through their choice, but their parents' choice. They've gone to school here. They've worked here. They're part of the fabric of America. And those millions of people should not be held hostage to an immigration scheme that would build a wall, cripple our economy, and break up families.
So Nick is basically saying, you know, he doesn't want a deal. He just doesn't want us to be a wedge issue. Our people, right. You know, the people are here. You've been raised here. You didn't do anything wrong. Why are we? This isn't a fight that we should be having as Americans.
Right.
Nick's whole video was actually extremely well put together, extremely well thought out, very professional, and I really think that Nick did a great job with this.
If you listen to the whole thing, it's very positive, which is what you should be. I mean, it points out what's not going right, but it's not like everything's going down and it's awful. It's like, here's how we positively do it. Here's how we compassionately do it.
Yeah.
And I was very glad to see them do that, because candidates of all three parties forget compassion.
Absolutely.
And being positive. And he did a great job with that.
And he also took the time to recognize the things that are going well. He got to give the good, bad, and ugly.
He did.
So he talked about how the federal government has done a great job of removing regulation from businesses.
But even as he described the ugly, he didn't just do what Trump tends to do. It was a nice way to put it. You know, it was there's a positive way to describe ugly if you know about advocacy. And he did that. He wasn't going for the jugular. He was just describing what it was that needed to be changed.
Yeah. And I think one of the we're not going to have time to play the clip here, but one of the most shining moments was when he was talking about the veterans.
Yes.
And he was talking about how, we need to fix the VA, but the more critical problem is that we need to stop hurting people by making them veterans and getting them into the, we take people home and then have to, we send them there, we get them hurt, and then we have to fix them, and we just need to not do that to our veterans.
I'm sorry.
Don't hurt somebody.
Any comment, Chris?
How was Mosquito Hill?
Yes, Chris.
No, the VA gives veterans the second chance to die for the country.
that's a running joke.
I laugh, but it's kind of, there's
true.
The truth to
it's
it,
true.
Yes.
Uh-huh. They, especially with, suicide, all they want to do is just throw pills at you and just hope you feel better.
Well, we've got a wounded veteran, a guy I went to school with at Blue River Elementary, a guy in West Clark. He had something happened to him in Iraq, and he's come back, and he's dealing with those, and he will for the rest of his life. He has to go to the VA of Marion, an hour and a half away. Yes. So he had an appointment this week. You look on Facebook, and the poor guy drives all the way up there. Mm-hmm. They canceled the appointment and didn't tell him. So he's got a day out of work. You drive all the way up. They cancel your appointment, and thanks for the care you gave me.
I hear a lot of that, and that's a big problem. And veterans should be treated better than that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I don't know. I would assume, Chris, you're generally pretty healthy at this point. You're not dealing with that, but at some point, that would be, as a benefit of having served, you probably do have that care available to you going forward.
Yeah, but
if you want to suffer through it.
Yeah, if I want to suffer through it. Yeah, all the red tape. Sorry.
Yeah. So that's anyway. I really appreciated Nick. Putting that message out and giving people something to point to where you didn't have to just, play the hard left or the hard right. You've got somebody that's somewhat in between that calls the balls and strikes.
Right.
So that's really glad we were able to put those together. Thank you, Dakota, for pulling that audio. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a chance to do that. So that was awesome for the show. A couple more things that we wanted to cover here. The local paper, the Courier Times, so on the local news. We talked about it Tuesday on the special episode.
Yeah,
it's not on the podcast feed, but if you go to the YouTube, you can find it. I served on a small committee dealing with our planning commission and a new comprehensive plan. So my name got associated with this wind farm issue that's been going through. And we've got a 100-and-some-page comprehensive plan document, and there were two pages that dealt with wind farms. Wind farms have been like the third rail of this county for the last 3 or 4 years. Our last county elections were based on it. I think it's going to be a big factor in our elections that we have this year. And literally any issue, it just
oh my goodness,
it boils right down to that.
You can take anything, any issue within this county. It could be the fact that 14th Street is closed down, and somehow it gets tied back to the wind farms. Like there's just correlation does not equal causation, and.
But it doesn't in politics sometimes.
So this has been like the driving issue. I didn't know why, because I've not been plugged in. I have a day job, but I've been getting these emails for the last week, and it seemed like almost a directed campaign of here's my opinion on wind farms. Finally figured out today that the county has been asking for input, and apparently this group has just taken a distribution list of anybody that's ever had any influence of any type in this. So I've been getting pummeled with these emails of people of varying abilities
baby boomers with caps locks
varying abilities to construct a letter.
And the number one instead of an exclamation point.
I tried to give free advice as to how to, because I'm not the guy you're trying to talk to, but they're not going to listen if you're going to put it together in this form. Anyway, I finally figured out that they're trying to get these to the county commissioners, so that, because they're going to do a study, they're going to do a review. All of these are going to be, these letters that they've received are going to be put together and put on their website for review. They're going to have a couple weeks, and they're going to revisit the wind ordinance. So this is a story we've covered for a while, and they basically asked for citizens to leave input on three issues: economic development, road use, and the agreements with the two different contractor developers, and the deadline was today. So I know some people have been sending them through, and then there's a big public hearing coming up in I guess a week from Monday, Monday the 12th at 6 o'clock at the, I would assume it'll be at the Henry County Courthouse,
where they'll have another big... the Circuit Courthouse, you know, the second floor where they usually meet.
In the old courtroom.
Yeah.
Government got so big here in Henry County, we abandoned the courthouse for having court, built a new justice center across the street, and now the commissioners and the council and their big meetings are in the old courtroom.
Okay.
So we have a very ornate county commissioner's
meeting.
That's
actually a nice place to do that, yes.
And the acoustics in there are horrible, and there are no outlets to plug your phone in to live stream the meetings. Yeah, it's the perfect place for a government meeting.
And yeah, Dakota's...
That's what they think, yeah. You can't hear them, you can't interview them, yes. Uh-huh.
Dakota has become this media mogul now, and we keep upgrading. You got this will be Monday, you're going to film the city council meeting.
Yes.
And then I would assume we're going to try to make it to this thing as well, as
if
long as the day
job's
over.
Yeah. I have to sue them later.
The open door law is on your side. So yeah, we've got to get that to look forward to, but it's a story we're tracking for sure.
Yep, absolutely. I'm considering going to this meeting on February 12th. I think that there's going to be some good stuff that's brought up in the meeting, and part of me is just like really curious to hear what they talk about.
Anytime we can have discussions about any issue, but I really just beg for people to be based in logic, because there are very logical reasons, and you know, and things that I understand on both sides of this. Where you know it's a massive property rights thing for a guy to be able to develop his ground, and then there's the concern of you're devaluing my property, or you are causing a health risk or a safety risk, and there are legitimate arguments on both sides.
Yeah, everybody has concerns, and it's a very complicated issue. But whenever people start going off the rails about being anti-wind, it just makes you think. Well, it makes me think. I don't know about you, dear Matt, but I'm just like, you know what? Just build a wind farm, like just to spite you. Like that's it. Like
I glaze over. Logic works, and emotion doesn't work on me. Yeah. As a left brain libertarian, right. That's just you know, I'm logic all day long, and the emotional stuff, you just kind of put up a Trump wall and shut down.
Yeah, I think that I had that conversation one time with Chris Spangle. We were talking about like how we can get this podcast to have more reach, you know, like talking about the different things that had to do with getting our name out there more. And he's like, you need to put more emotion in the show, you know, and not like just so many, not just hardcore facts all the time, but you need to, you know, bring in some comedy, you need to tell stories about your lives, you know. And I'm like, well, why would you listen to a podcast that wasn't just facts? Like, I'm a huge Ben Shapiro fan. I mention him all the time on the show. And, like, that's all the Shapiro show is like, just an hour and 15 minutes of just fact after fact after fact. And Chris is like, well, you're a libertarian. You're not normal. Like,
well, yeah.
You think in just purely informational standards, but the average person thinks it with emotion. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're probably right.
And Chris is right. Dealing with voters, I'm going out dealing with legislators, et cetera. I've got to try to get rid of my libertarian side and talk about the emotional issue.
Right.
Yeah. And if you look out, the windmills, they may be going on the wrong issues or illogical, but they don't like them. And so sometimes if you want to have them to change, you've got to emotionally tell them why they need to. But it is a great property rights issue for a law school exam.
You're
taking competing property interests, which makes it hard for elected officials or appointed officials.
And we've had basically paralysis in this county for the last 3 or 4 years, there were agreements in place and approvals for development on some of these projects. Those have expired. So unless they get renewed, those projects are not going to come in.
Yes.
The county is now looking at their ordinances. They call it a WEX ordinance, which is a wind energy. It's an acronym.
Right.
But basically, it's the ordinance dealing with wind. There's an issue that comes before the county councils dealing with abatements, because we're talking about massive installations of something that affects the tax base. You know, you've got a very major investment that comes in, which then becomes taxable for the property. So there's money there for landowners, where they're going to get lease payments. and you have the possibility of, at some point, receiving money for the county towards the general fund. And then the miles of county road that get used by these contractors as they build the wind farms, those county roads end up needing to be repaired or replaced.
Right.
So counties where you've got a county like Henry County, we talked before about Indianapolis's pothole problem. Henry County, Indiana has 800 miles. We have 50,000 people with 800 miles of county road.
Wow.
That's a massive amount to have to pay to pave and to maintain. So you've got the possibility of, you know, 40 or 50 miles of road get replaced at no charge because it's a part of this construction. It's something that county commissioners have to look at as well. So there's a lot of competing interests and a lot of things that are being looked at. So it's something we've watched. It's not an easy issue. And I'm sure you're going to hear this, you know, as you go around the state and you deal with different communities. You know, you'll be in Nashville, Indiana Saturday. Right. I'm sure there are issues in Nashville that you would never think you're going to hear or going to matter in, you know, to the guy that lives in Newcastle. But it matters to those guys down there.
All right. There are down there.
Yes. Yeah. So it's, you never know. All politics is local.
Yes, it is.
And it's, you know, we've got what will be, we had independent candidates that ran for commissioner that had over 40% of the vote in the last race. You didn't have a Democrat candidate, but you had incumbent Republicans, and there were two races, and they both were very, very close.
Yes.
And I expect that the primaries on both the Republican and Democrat side are going to be contested, and then the general election. We're going to see some interesting stuff.
Yes.
So, anyway, that's enough of the local stuff for you. Mark, we thank you very much for coming.
Thank you. Gentlemen, thank you for having me here. I've enjoyed it tremendously.
So, one last chance. If people want to volunteer or get involved with your campaign, obviously, you've got some events. You've got a driver.
Right.
But I'd imagine you're looking for other people to do other things for you.
We do. We have lots of things for volunteerism. Go to the Facebook page, at Rutherford Rising 2018. Go to the website, RutherfordRising.com. And, you know, send a message to us if you've got something particular you'd like to do. Let us know that you'd like to volunteer, do donate, and we'll get you busy doing something.
Awesome. Well, we wish you luck. We'll be there's the Libertarian Convention where you will actually have the chance to become the nominee.
Right.
It's in downtown Indianapolis in May.
At the Marriott, May 3rd.
May 3rd. All right. And after that, then you will be the nominee, we think, God willing.
All right, well, thank you.
And I don't think there's another challenger that's been recruited.
I heard a lot of, thank goodness.
Yeah, thank God somebody's doing it.
For stepping up, yes. I've heard a lot of that, yes.
Uh-huh. We've had some statewide offices before, Senate races and governor's races, where we've had, you know, it's just like a primary for other parties, where you've got competing folks, and they're, you know, this is a nice one where we have an identified candidate, and I think it's somebody that generally you're like the most every libertarian.
Oh, that's good.
I don't think there's a list. There's a hit list for me in Dakota.
Well, there's a hit list for me, but if you're not working hard enough, then you don't have a hit list. Yeah, there are some people who aren't exactly happy with me.
There's going to be a no to speech. When you're running for office as a libertarian, you can always vote for no to. None of the above. We don't like any of these people. Start over.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't think there's no to speech coming this time.
No, I don't think so. I'm not thinking about it. And while you're talking about the 2012 convention.
Well, actually,
that was a very incredible convention.
So that was. Yeah. I apologize. I legitimately forgot that was even a thing. You know.
That's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes.
Politics.
That's fun.
If you let it get to you, then it's bad. But you're trying to make things better. So you got to do this. This is how humans interact. If you don't interact, you don't make things better.
Well, I'm excited that you're going to be running for Secretary of State and looking forward to supporting you. Mr. Guffey, you're not on the Facebook, so we can't track you down there. Do you want to give out your cell phone number to any ladies that are looking?
I don't care. it doesn't matter.
You're on the Instagram. If people want to watch you lift 350 pounds, what's the way?
I think it's CN Guffey.
CN Guffey. That's very original.
Yeah. It's same as my email address as well. I developed that when I was 12.
That's a good syntax.
Yeah.
My first email was tryhighcatcher44.
Yeah.
I was not a catcher, and my number was not 44.
Oh, wow. You were the 44th guy in line that said, I want that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. First email address is so embarrassing.
My sister shared a thing on Facebook about it, and I was like I was the same as you, Chris. I was like JN Morrill at whatever the local ISP was, NLTC, which is the New Lisbon Telephone Company. You were the same. My sister is still skyshooter11 at yahoo.com. So if you all will email her and let her know that you're listening.
She like gives that email address out to employers.
I told her you need to get a fake Gmail that's Hannah whatever at, you know, because don't put that on your resume. you're 20 something now.
Yes.
It's like your cell phone number. Well, you know, yeah, it may help. She's got a good job now. So maybe I assume she did it the right way.
Originality, I guess.
But your phone number, same thing. At this age, you know, your email address you pretty much keep forever.
Yes.
Your cell phone number doesn't matter if you moved from, I've got a Rushville phone number forever. And I live up here in Henry County now, but I'm not changing my number. I've had it for 15 years.
Right.
Yeah. I'm changing my email address back to Dry High Catcher, I guess. For the employment opportunities.
Yes.
For now, though, your business card says Dakota at BossHoggerLiberty.com.
Yes, it does. So that is my final thoughts. I am very grateful for all of the donations that came in, and we were able to purchase the Mevo camera, which you are very watching good. Us through right now. It's a very, very high quality. Like I said on Tuesday, if you've been watching the videos before, you could really never tell how ugly I was. Unfortunately, that's not the case anymore. I feel like it's like the Family Guy episode, you know, where Peter gets that HDTV and he had a crush on the news reporter lady. And then he gets the HDTV and he finds out she's really ugly. I hope that doesn't happen to us. If the viewership goes down, then we know why.
nobody wants to look at the old 35-year-old guy in Dakota with that scarred face we talked about on the last episode.
That's true. But we also got the IQ6. That is for the iPhone for all the live streaming. So if you have any public events that you want to be live streamed or you want to be recorded, then you can just hit me up. You can send me a text message if you have my business card. Always hit me up on Facebook, which is the best way to get a hold of me anyway. And just say, hey, you know, go to this commissioner's meeting and record it for me. I will be more than happy to. I really like doing this stuff. That's what I said on Tuesday was the main goal of this podcast has always been to get people more involved in local politics, whether they agree with us or not. And hopefully we can get you to agree with us. But if I can help that for anybody locally, then I would be more than willing to do that.
Oh, very good. Final thought from me, real quick. I want to kind of highlight the Indiana hemp bill that's going through the General Assembly. Big opportunities for the ag community in both in our area and statewide and economic development. It's passed 90-0, very uncontroversially. Didn't have a single no vote in committee. Didn't have a single no vote in any of the readings across the House. It's been advanced to the Senate. We're expecting it to end up on our senator's desk, Senator Lysing. I encourage everybody that's listening and has an interest in it, drop her an email, contact her, let her know that we want the opportunity to diversify agriculture in Indiana. Kentucky's doing it, and we need to be able to keep up as well. It's basically getting the boots of government off the backs of people so that they can innovate and do something. So really encourage you to drop a line to her and see where it goes.
We will create
some opportunity for people like Cade, one of our co-hosts. He's a fourth-generation farmer and wants to not be a criminal for farming.
we'll share Cade's letter that he wrote to our senator on the Boss Hog of Liberty page, and we'll also share the link to her email address so that you can also send her a letter.
Very good. We appreciate everybody watching and listening. One last pitch for the T-Chip thing. If you ordered shirts or swag of any sort, we believe that's shipping, and we're going to try to figure out why we got Facebook banned or why we got banned from them and get it back in their good graces. And if you didn't get it yet, we will find a way to get merchandise out there again for you guys. That's it for now. Tune in next week, and we will be with Sean Rao on Thursday night, 7 o'clock.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.